Luke chapter 9, verse 59. And he said to another, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father." Jesus said unto him, "Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God." Here, what we have is, like what Mike was talking about, a conflict of wills. We have a conflict of wills. Basically, it's the same thing today as it was in those days. Same thing. I mean, we have the Lord's will and we have our will, man's will. We've got things we want to do and God has things he wants to do. And they're not always the same. Quite often, they're not the same. That becomes a conflict. It's just like in any marriage, you have two different wills and there's going to be a conflict. Isn't that right? We know what a conflict of wills is. Always, there's going to be a conflict when you have two different people trying to go together or walk together or work together or have a marriage together or whatever it is. There's a conflict of wills. And somebody's will has to take priority. In marriage, that's the man's will. Okay? Amen. Amen. There's a conflict of will. Here Jesus Christ comes and he sees someone and he says, "Follow me." And the fellow says, "Yes, Lord, but suffer me first to go and bury my father." And the Lord says, "Let the dead bury their dead. You go and preach." Now, there are several things in this passage that are curious, perhaps might even confuse it for some people. For example, it just does not seem unreasonable at all for this man to say, "Lord, let me go and bury my father. I want to go to my father's funeral. You know, I just want to go to my father's funeral, Lord. Can it wait that long?" And you know, I'm not really sure. I've heard explanations that he was not asking to go to his father's funeral, but that he was wanting to wait to serve the Lord until his parents died. And therefore, you know, when his parents were dead, then he could go and serve the Lord. And maybe that's it. Or maybe it was, like I thought at the first, he wanted to go to his father's funeral. And the Lord said, "No, we don't have time. You let the dead bury their dead, and you go and preach the gospel." Now, the truth is, the Lord has his will. And the Lord has important reasons for whatever he says he wants you to do. And so we can try to explain it and make Jesus seem nicer than he really was. Or we could just take it at face value and say, all right, Jesus had something he wanted done, and somebody he wanted to do it had some kind of a problem and was saying, "I can't do it right now, Lord. Your will has to come later." I don't know if you noticed it or not, but there are a couple of ugly, ugly, ugly words in this answer from this man. See, the Lord says, "Follow me." And these are ugly words you hear from children all the time. I get tired of hearing it from my children. You hear that, my children? I get tired of hearing these words. These words come up almost every day between my children. And I'm tired of hearing it. They're the words, "Me first." Did you catch that? "Me first." "Can we have some ice cream, Mom?" "Yeah, you can have some ice cream." "Me first!" That's how it goes, more or less. "Me first." Yeah? "I get the front seat!" You know, it's a conflict of will. "No, but you had the front seat on the way over here, and I want the front seat on the way back." And I say, "Both of you, get out of the front seat. My wife's sitting in the front seat." That's just the way it is. It's a conflict of wills. But did you hear what this man said? "Me first." Do you see? Are you understanding here? Whatever the reason is, you want to make Jesus seem nicer so that he's not saying something like, "I'm not going to let you go to your father's funeral." If you want him to seem nicer and you want him to sound like he would never be so unreasonable as to tell you that there's something more urgent than going to your father's funeral, if that doesn't seem reasonable to me, you can come up with any explanation you want. But it all boils down to the same fact. You have a will that sometimes gets in the way of God's will. You got something you want to do that sometimes gets in the way of what God wants you to do. Isn't that true? Haven't you seen it? How many times have you said those ugly words to God this week? "Me first. I got something to do first, Lord." He's not saying, "Lord, I don't like your will. I'm not interested in your will. He's not saying, I don't care about what you want. He's saying, I agree, Lord. Amen is what he's saying. Amen. I'll go. Just suffer me first to go and bury my father. There's other examples. We don't have to use this one. It uses the same exact words in the next example right there in the same passage. You can just keep on reading. You'd find he said, the next guy said, me first also. He just wanted to go say goodbye to his friends. Let me go and say goodbye to my friends, Lord. And the Lord said, no. No, you shouldn't even look back. Don't even look back. You see, you can't make Jesus seem any nicer. You've got to start understanding the way Jesus was thinking. For example, think about the Lord's will. Think about what Jesus was trying to do. Think about the purpose that Jesus had when he came. What was he trying to do? What was he there for? Was he there to get rich? Now, there came a few. I've actually read some of their interviews. It's sickening. It makes you sick. But their interest is to get rich. Was that Jesus' interest? He wasn't trying to get rich. He wasn't interested in money. If anything, he was giving up of all of the riches that he had. And he could have had all the riches more he wanted. All he had to do was ask. They were there at his fingertips. All he had to do was say, Lord, I want this or I want that other. And he would have gotten whatever he wanted. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, doesn't he? Isn't he rich? He gave up riches. He wasn't doing something selfish. Maybe he wanted pleasure. Maybe he wanted fame. Maybe he wanted self-glory and vainglory. Maybe he just wanted people to follow him around. What was it that Jesus Christ wanted to do? He wanted to save your soul. He wanted to lift you up from the depths of your sin. Maybe he wanted to give undeserving, wretched humans victory. Victory over sin. Victory over the devil that had oppressed us for thousands of years. Maybe the Lord Jesus had such a tremendous desire to do something good for the world for once in all of history. Somebody was going to come and be the champion and win and beat the devil and beat death at the same time and rise from the dead and save every single one that calls on him. This is what Jesus was going to do, and it was going to cost Jesus everything he had. And he said, follow me. And the fellow says, well, I want to go first and bury my father. Well, now you have to stop and think about this conflict of wills, because it's the same exact conflict today. It is the same thing. There's no difference. No difference as far as the conflict goes. I'm not sure what the Lord is telling you he wants you to do. But I know that your answers aren't any better than this one. You don't got anything more important to do than bury your father. Now, I plan on going to my father's funeral. And I hope it's not soon. I want him to hang around for a while. And when he dies, I plan on going to his funeral. I plan on shedding a few tears. But let me tell you something. If it gets in the way of God's will, I'd better be ready to say, no, I can't do it. You know, back in the old days, the missionaries, when they up and left, they just up and left, and they never see their parents again, and they knew it. My father-in-law, when he went to Turkey, he knew that he wasn't going to see his father again. He knew he had had heart attacks. He knew he was ready to die. And he made his peace with his father there, and he told him, I won't be coming back to your funeral. You see, he had to make that decision, right? So why is it so unreasonable for Jesus to say, no, there's something more important to do? But this conflict. How is it possible that Jesus says, I've got important things I want to do? Think about how many thousands of years the prophets had waited. They had waited and never got a chance to see this day that Jesus Christ was beginning to preach and to heal the diseases of his people and begin to explain the depth of God's love and his mercy and begins to preach and to bring people into the kingdom. What a tremendous day that the prophets had waited thousands of years for. And he comes and he's finally here and he says, come, let's go. And somebody says, not quite yet. Suffer me first to go and bury my father. No, he said. No, because if I wait today, somebody else will have to bury their father tomorrow. And somebody else will have to bury their father the next day. There comes a time when you have to say, this is what's important. Amen. This right here, we have to do. This right here, nothing can take precedence over. Sooner or later, you're going to have to come to the point, if you ever want to please God at all, to say, Lord, your will is first. Amen. And I'm not talking just about preachers or missionaries or pastors. I'm talking about everybody on earth. You know, there are people who aren't saved, never given themselves to God. They're not reconciled to God. They never spend a waking moment thinking about God until they get sick. You know, there is no excuse for your sin. There's no excuse for your ignorance. There's no excuse for your disobedience to God. You say, well, I have a different religion. It doesn't matter. God didn't give you that religion. You have no excuse. You're going to stand before God someday without any excuse. You have no excuse for not having read your Bible. It's not like it's not in your language. You don't have to learn Greek to read it. It's in your language. It's probably in your front room. You have no excuse if you don't read it. You don't know God. You don't know Jesus Christ. You don't know what He thinks. You don't know what His opinion is. You don't know what His will is. You don't know whether you're wrong or right in this job or in that job or in this thought. You don't know. There's no excuse. You have the obligation to know. You have the obligation to serve God. You have the obligation to know Him and to learn about Him. You breathe His air, don't you? Do you breathe His air? Do you eat His food? Do you enjoy the sunshine that He gives you? You have nothing except what God gave you. You owe God every waking moment. You owe Him all of your dreams too. You owe it to God. You don't have the right to say, "Suffer me first," ever. You don't have the right ever to tell God, "I'm not ready yet." And the only reason you've told Him so many times, and the only reason He still gives you more opportunities is because He is rich in mercy. He is abundant in His love and His patience and His tolerance and His mercy. But someday it's going to run out. He's going to say no more. You see, because He's God. He's not some flighty little boss that you have to obey. He's not some nutcase down there at the office that always gives you stupid things to do. This is God. This is Jesus Christ. And everything He's ever done has been good.
Amen.
It's been great. Everything He's done has been worthy of all of our time. And yet how many times do you find yourself saying, "I'm not ready to serve God yet. I'm not ready to know Him yet. I'm not ready to read my Bible yet. I'm not ready to repent of my sins." You don't have any excuse at all for your living in ignorance of God and in His will, of ignorance of His law. You have no right. You have no excuse for your fornication. You've got no excuse for your pornography. You've got no excuse for your homosexuality. You've got no excuse for your smoking and drinking and drugs. You've got no excuse for your lies and your stealing from the government. You've got no excuse for your sins. And someday, the day is going to come, it's going to be over, and God's going to take away your life. And then what are you going to say? No more. No more excuses. There's nothing you're going to be able to say. All you'll do is be condemned by a righteous God because He is fed up with you saying, "Me first." You don't have the right. If you're lost here this morning, you don't have the right to breathe His air. You don't have the right to be sitting here healthy. It's time now that you reconcile yourself to God by Jesus Christ and give yourself to Him and begin to serve Him with all of your heart. And never once through the rest of your life ever say, "Me first," when it comes to God's will.
Amen.
If you don't do that, you're going to die in your sins and you're going to deserve hell forever. It's not an accident. It's not a tragic mistake. It's the response of a righteous God when He has been trampled underfoot year after year after year by unappreciative people who couldn't care less about God's will. You're lost here this morning. You don't have the right to tell God, "I'm not ready yet." You give yourself to Jesus Christ today. That's all you can do that'll possibly please Him. But, you know, there's a lot of Christians who say, "Me first, me first." Christians. You know something? I'm going to tell you, I believe in Christian liberty. I think it's great. I think it's great that God hasn't put such a heavy burden on me that I gotta walk only a certain distance on Saturday or I don't know what all those laws that He had put on. You know, I don't have to worry about whether I'm wearing all cotton or something mixed and I don't have to worry about all these things. I like being able to light a fire on Saturday and cook, well actually I like my wife to be able to light a fire and cook my meals. I don't particularly like cooking them myself. I'm glad she's going to start cooking for me now that the kids are leaving. You know? That's going to be great, I hope. Hope I don't have to teach her how to cook, you know. No, she's a good cook. She's taking care of me good. I don't know what she was talking about. Listen, I believe in Christian liberty. I believe God has given us freedom to make decisions, to make choices maybe that are different than your neighbor's. I believe we ought to be able to come to church with a certain amount of liberty just to express ourselves and our individuality. I don't think we have to wear uniforms, you know. I don't understand. I do not, I'm not against The idea of Christian liberty. And I know that Sunday's not the Lord's day that He set aside that you can't work and all these things. But let me tell you something. When is God's will going to come first? You say, I don't think we have. I've talked to so many people. They have to work. And I've talked to people in Mexico. They can't come to the meetings on Sunday morning. And they say, well, it's because it's our best day to sell. Well, I always tell them, the Lord wants your best day. Then that's the day you got to come. But it's not a law. So don't we have freedom? Okay. What day do you give God that you never take away from Him? That's His. And you never, ever work on that day. What day? You say, well, it doesn't have to be Sunday. It could be Saturday. Okay. You don't work on Saturday and you would not even come the opportunity and the necessity? No. Where are the Christians like that? I've not met any. What about Thursday nights? You say, well, I think I can worship God on Thursday nights. Okay. You would give God Thursday nights, and I don't care if some rock group came to town that you're in love with, you wouldn't go because it's a Thursday night? No, I don't know any Christians like that. Where are they? You know what I've noticed? I've noticed that Christians that don't give God Sunday don't give God anything! Nothing! They don't give God anything, not the time of day! They wouldn't give God anything! Because if they're not willing to give Him Sundays, they've said me first. Me, me, me. It's about me. I believe in Christian liberty. You do whatever you want. But someday God's going to rebuke you. He's going to show you just how selfish you've been all of your life. You've never given God anything. What about it? What about giving God what He wants first? What is God's will? Do you think it's God's will that you work on Sunday? Why don't you ask Him? Ask Him waiting for an answer that He gives. Ask Him. Do you think it's God's will that you don't tithe your money? Why don't you ask? You say, I believe in Christian liberty. I don't believe. You believe anything you want. What do you give God first? When are you going to put God first? When is God's will going to be more important than your little stinking petty will? When are you going to say this is God's and nothing will take it from Him? Or when are you going to get tired of treating God like a por Dios cero beggar? When are you going to get tired of treating God like He's just a beggar out there on the side of the street with a sign that says we'll work for our food? God doesn't want your extras. He wants to be first. You got some extra change in your pocket, so you drop it in the plate. Just keep it. God doesn't want your extras. When are you going to put God first? When is God's will going to be more important than your petty will? You got big plans, do you? You got big things you got going? You got good excuses for once? Well, this fellow had a pretty good excuse. I just want to go to my dad's funeral. I just want to go say goodbye to my friends. And Jesus said, no. No, you got your priorities wrong. Things are backwards. When are you going to wake up? I am Jesus Christ, He said. I've come to deliver. I've come to save. I've come to seek that which is lost. I've come to preach in this city and that city and all these other cities. I've come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And all I hear from the people I want to follow me is, I got something to do first, but then when I'm done with that, I'll be ready to help you out. I don't know if you noticed it, but He's not asking for help. He's giving you an opportunity to join in. He doesn't need help. He doesn't need all of your abilities. You're basically useless. And you add your uselessness to all that sin, you're basically just the slime that grows on the sludge in a septic tank. That's all there is that we have to offer God. When are you going to start putting God first? When are you going to start saying, God, I want to do what You want? I think Jesus Christ is tired of hearing me first, just like you parents are tired of hearing it from your kids. When are you going to start saying, like you tell your kids to say, why don't you say, ladies first? Huh? Why don't you say, ladies first? I tell Stephen, why don't you say, you first, Lena? And he says, well, I would do that, but then she always goes first. Yeah, that's the way it is, isn't it? Uh-huh. Me first. And that's what you've been telling God for year after year after year. Well, how about you ministers? You know, this fellow here that Jesus Christ said, follow me, he was no slacker. I don't know which one of the apostles he was. He might not even been one of the apostles. I'm not sure. He was somebody there with Jesus Christ, right? He was obviously a believer. He was obviously sold out. God doesn't say, follow me, to just anybody. I mean, this fellow was a hard worker. Obviously, God doesn't call lazy people into His service. He's not looking for people without a job. This is an interesting, curious circumstance. You know, the first thing I must have to tell you, I got to tell you that there are some interesting things here. This man here was called by Jesus Christ to go out and preach full time. So what kind of a Christian are we talking about here? The kind that never shows up on Sundays or Wednesday nights? Just whenever he wants? No, that's not the kind. That's not the one we're talking about. The kind who never tithes, who never gives any sacrifice? No, he's not talking about that kind of fellow. He's talking about Christian worker. A good Christian, a solid Christian, somebody who serves God. And yet this fella, this Christian, this worker, this minister, this preacher, this one that God had called to do something even greater, he says, suffer me first. Did you know that no matter how much you've given to God, you still get into this situation where you conflict yourself with God and say, Lord, I got this problem with this thing you're telling me to do. I got a problem. You know, we always have problems. I don't care how much you love God, how much you want to serve Him, and how much you pray, and how much you preach, and how much you tithe. I don't care. All these things don't stop the fact that tomorrow you could do exactly the same thing that this fella did and say, Lord, not yet. I got something else to do first. Something else that I've got to get done. There's something here. When I get this in line and this thing set up and this thing ready, then I can do this and help you out. I know it's a little bit different, but it's basically the same thing as the fellow saying, if I win the lottery, I'm going to give some to God. Yeah, if everything works out for you, you're going to do God's will. But you know, you need to do God's will first. And then you do your will later, if you have time. That makes you the beggar. And that's the right way. I mean, that's what you are, a beggar. We're just a bunch of beggars. Everything we got from God. You didn't earn anything. Just how good of a job do you have anyway? Shoot, man, I've seen people work 7 days a week, 14 hours a day, and they're making subsistence living. They can't hardly pay their rent. You think you're any better than they are? If you've got any time for leisure, that was a gift of God. You're just a beggar that God's given a whole lot to. This was a minister and minister. This was a preacher. This was a sold out Christian that got in the way of God's will. God had something He wanted out of him, and He had something to do first. When are you going to stop saying, Lord, me first? I got this here to do first, this other thing to do first. When are you going to say, Lord, whatever your will is, I'm going to do that first. And if I got a little time left over for my hobbies, then that's fine. But no, Lord, you tell me what you want first. Because here I am, I'm giving myself to you to do your will first. Just a couple of circumstances here I just want to mention. First of all, I want you to think about the absurdity of this conflict. The fact that there is a conflict between your will and God's will, this is absurd. You haven't had an original thought in your entire life. You haven't innovated anything. You've never figured anything out. Somebody's had to teach you everything you know, and you didn't even get half of that. They tried to teach you, and you didn't even get half of what they tried to teach you. I'm telling you, of all things, you're going to argue with God and say, Lord, I like my order of doing things better than yours. It would be like some apprentice coming in and telling a master mechanic, I think we need to take this piece off first. No, the master mechanic says, don't take that piece off first. Take this other one off first. A lot of us don't understand. Well, so what? You don't have to understand. You're the apprentice. You got to learn. And after a while, you'll understand more. How is it possible that you're arguing with God? God says, you know something, I've got a great deal for you over here. This is going to be better for you by far. But you say, well, this thing over here makes more money. And He says, are you arguing with me, son? Do you know anything? It makes more money, but is money everything? Isn't there other things more important than making more money? Well, of course there are. Why in the world then don't you just say, God, whatever you say is fine with me. If God has a certain will for you, my goodness, don't argue with Him. He's got something for you, and it's going to be better than anything you could devise. You who've never had an original thought in your life, let somebody else make your decision. Let God decide what He wants out of you. Let God decide what you do with your time. Let God decide where you work, what you do, what days you do, how you do things. Let God decide what you're going to do today, tomorrow. Let God decide about your career. Let God in on some of the decisions if you're not going to let Him in on all of them. First of all, this is an absurd conflict. But let me tell you something else. This is an inevitable conflict. It is unavoidable. Well, first of all, there's always conflict of wills. God did give us a will. He gave us a will. We have a will, right? We do make decisions, don't we? Yes? You come to a fork in the road, well, you make a decision. You either go to the left or you go to the right or you just stay right there in the middle. But you made a decision. Let me tell you something. You have a will. God has a will. It's an inevitable conflict. They're not always going to be the same will. But you know, there's another reason why there's a conflict. God is wise and you are foolish. God is intelligent and you're pretty stupid. Well, of course there's a conflict between your will and His will. His thoughts are higher than your thoughts. He thinks great things. He has great ideas. My goodness, of course there's going to be a conflict. You ought to be expecting Him to ask you for something that you cannot figure out. Because He's smarter than you. If He always told you things that you already understood, you'd start doubting whether He's any smarter than you are. If you know that He's smarter than you, why in the world would it surprise you that He wants you to do something that you can't understand for the life of you? He wants you to be a missionary. You say, I don't understand that, Lord. Well, so what? You don't have to understand it. It's obvious God's going to ask something out of you that you don't understand. It's an inevitable conflict. But let me tell you something else. It's a necessary conflict. It's absolutely essential to God's plan that you give up something. If you're not going to give up anything, well, then you're not sincere. You're not real. There's not, you know, Jesus Christ didn't come with all of His angels attending Him. He didn't come with a crown on His head. He was born like every other little baby. He didn't come with riches. He had to give up something to come. This is part of life. Do you realize that to serve God, to get anything good out of this life, you're going to have to give up something. You're going to have to sacrifice. You're going to have to say, I give up this in order to have this. You can't have it all. You can't have it all. You can have money or you can have time. You can't have both. If you want money, you're going to spend all your time making money and keeping money. That's a tremendous full-time job just to have money. But you could have time. You could have less money and more time. You can't have it all. It's that simple. You can't have it all. So you have to make choices. And here God is saying, give this up over here, your will, and take my will. Go my way. This is better. Let me tell you something. There is a conflict of wills, and what God is trying to get you to do is to say, you first. Whatever you want, Lord. I want to serve you first. You want me to be a missionary? Amen, Lord. I'm ready. Send me. You want me to be a preacher? Okay, Lord. I know it don't seem like it makes any sense. We're not winning any soul. I don't understand things. But whatever you want, Lord. You see, this is an absolute necessary conflict. You have to give something up. What are you going to give up? What? Let me tell you something. You better be ready to give up anything you've got when God says, follow me. If that means you don't get to see your father's funeral, okay, that's fine. It'll hurt me, but I can handle it. Whatever you say. You know something? There's all kinds of things that people put up in the way of God's will. But I found that they all revolve around two things. Family and money. That's what it is. This fella said, Lord, my father, I just want to take care of my responsibilities, Lord. I want to do what's mine to do. I want to protect. Let me ask you something. Can you help your father? Can you keep him alive? Can you protect your children? You say, Lord, I'd be a missionary, but I don't want to put my children through that. You can protect your children right here. I send my kids from our trailer house to the ice house, and I worry. Jenny didn't show up last night. I was worried. I can't protect my kids. Of course, my phone was out. I didn't tell you that. She tried to call, but my phone was out. I can't protect my kids. I can't keep my parents alive or healthy. I can't keep my job. I can't keep the prosperity here in these United States. I can't do it. I'm absolutely helpless. There's nothing I can do. What in the world am I trying to protect? Have you stopped and thought about the career you're hanging on to? What is this great career you've got that you're hanging on to? I don't understand. What are we talking about? Working with computers? I don't know what your career is. Maybe you change flat tires. What is it that you're hanging on to so hard that you can't let go and serve God? What is it that you want so bad that you can't say, God, you first, whatever it is? Just how rich are you anyway? Just how much stuff do you have that you're afraid to lose? What more do you need than food and raiment? You got food and you got clothes. What more can you get out of life? You can only eat so much. That's all. You can't. And you know, if you got salt and pepper, most anything tastes pretty good. And lemon. Let me tell you something. You are trying to hang on to things that you cannot hang on to. Wasn't it Jim Elliot that said, he is no fool who gives that which he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose? You can't keep it. You can't protect your parents. You can't live. You can't keep them alive. You can't keep them healthy. You can't even hang around them. You can't keep your kids. My kids get out of the house and boo, I don't hardly ever see them. I don't hardly ever think about them either. But, you know, they're gone. That's all there is to it. Let me tell you something. You got to serve God all your life. What in the world are you hanging on to so hard that you're refusing whatever God has in His will for you? You afraid of poverty? You afraid that, you know, that if you give such and such a thing to newspaper evangelism or whatever, you afraid of this big step of faith where you say, God, whatever your will is, are you afraid that you might be poor? You're going to die. You're going to lose everything you've got. What are you afraid of? What are you hanging on to so tightly that you would say, Lord, I can't. I have to hang on to it so tight, and you hang on to it till it rusts in your hand. And it's useless. Jenny gets herself a car. Oh, it's a nice car. And she gets so proud of that car. Just wait. I mean, I'm guessing 6 months max. It's going to be wrecked. It's going to be rusted. Motor's going to break down. Something's going to happen to that car. And it's just not going to be so interesting anymore. I know, because I've had those same things. I've had nice cars. I've had nice things. I think, this is nice. And after a while, it just becomes an eyesore. You've got to get rid of the thing. You're going to pay somebody to haul it off. What is God's will? Do you know what God's will is? Do you have any clue? Is it God's will that there be street preachers here in San Antonio?
Amen.
Just read your Bible and find out. Is that God's will? What did He say here? Go and preach. He said, go and preach. You know, He's a one-track mind, it seems like. Everywhere He's saying, go and preach.
Amen.
We got to go preach. He says He calls out 12 apostles, send them forth to preach. Is it God's will that there be preachers? Is it God's will that there be door knockers? Is it? Yeah, it is. Is it God's will that you tithe your money? Yeah, it is. Is it God's will that you show up for church on Sunday? Yes, it's God's will. It is God's will. There you have it. It's your choice. You make your decision. Based on that, are you going to do God's will, or are you going to do your will? Are you going to say you first, Lord, or are you going to say me first? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, You are the only thing worth living for. There's nothing else in this life that has any attraction, any value, any permanent use. You, Your gospel, Your will is the only thing, Lord, that is worth our lives. Oh, Lord, we want to do Your will first. What is it that You want out of us, Lord? We want to do Your will first. We want You to come first in our lives in every aspect. We want to give ourselves to You this day. Lord, we ask You to touch us, to call us. This week, Lord, of meetings, Lord, we ask You to move upon us and touch us and lift us up, Lord, out of our miserable selves, and teach us, Lord, a better way, a greater thing, Lord. Take us down Your road. We want to follow You. Lord, make us put You first. I ask You to touch us, Lord, this day and this week. I ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Stand up.